We're continuing the Shir in Likut Halachas, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Gevias Milva, the laws regarding collecting a loan, Halacha Gimel. Rav Nosson Zal again quotes the Pasuk in Chumash, Loi Sovoi El Beisoi Lavoi Tavoitoi, that the lender is not allowed to enter into the home of the borrower to take collateral. Bachutz Tamoid, stay outside his home, number one. Number two, ve'inyan loisachboil almona. And in addition, the Torah says, not permitted to take collateral from a widow. Al pi ha'maimar ha'maschil mi sheroitze lekarev b'nei odom l'avodas Hashem Yisborach. This halacha will be based on chapter 59 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal begins speaking about a person who wants to bring people close to Hashem, and he builds a Heichal HaKodesh, Rabbeinu Zal calls it there, a holy castle for Hashem, a holy palace for Hashem. Ayin Shom Kol HaMaimar. Study that entire chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 59, to have a solid introduction and foundation for this halacha. V'zeh b'chinas ho'isur lichnois l'toir beisoy shaloyve likach hamashkoin. Based on what Rabbeinu Zal tells us there, will understand why it's forbidden to enter into the house of the borrower to take collateral, v'gam osur lemashkanoi kiim al pi bezdin. And in addition, the lender is not allowed to consider taking any collateral unless he got permission from bezdin, from the court, telling him that it's okay for him to take collateral. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins. Ki ikar huanius himachmas pegam hamishpot hamavoyer b'maymar hanal. The main cause for poverty among the Jewish people is based on something that's lacking in mishpot. Mishpot means justice, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this over there in chapter 59. Ki mavoyer shom, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, sheyesh bayis. There is the concept of a house, and there is a concept of a wall, that a person's wealth is like a wall, a protective wall around that person. Rabbeinu Zal quotes Psukim and Mamore Chazal to show this. Shehem bechinas yad voshem. And they also represent the concept of a hand and the concept of a good name, a reputation. A person's name is usually affected by how stable that person is financially. We call he has a good name, he has a good reputation. It means he's trustworthy, he's stable, he's reliable. Shehem bechinas mishpot v'kisei. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran associates these two things with justice, mishpot, and kisei, the throne of Hashem. Bechinas ribua ve'igula, which mishpat is referred to as ribua, a square, and the kisei, the throne of Hashem, is referred to as igula, circular. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal quotes psukim to show that the Kohen Gadol wore the breastplate, which was the mishpat b'nei Yisrael, which was one of the instruments that would judge the Jewish people, that would make decisions for the Jewish people. And the Torah defines that breastplate as ravua. It had to be square. Regarding the throne of Hashem, the Navi, Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk Navi, which defines the back of the throne of Hashem as being circular, ogul. And in the Zohar HaKadosh, it speaks substantially about this concept of a square and a circle, and there's a concept of a square inside a circle and a circle inside a square. There are rings that are used as marriage rings, which are structured in that way. Based on this discussion in the Zohar HaKadosh about the ribua and the eagle, and over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal touches on this regarding a few different things. She'ikar kiyumam, the main thing that allows these things to exist, Alidei Bechinas HaMishpat, they're very much dependent on Mishpat, justice, proper justice. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to start explaining a little from Likutei Moran and then lead into his discussion. Rabbeinu Zal tells us over there, Ki ze sheroitze lekarev b'nei odom l'Hashem Yisborach, that an individual who wants to bring people close to Hashem, who boine heichal hakodesh, he is actually building a holy palace for Hashem. And over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal shows from Psukim that when one tries to bring people close to Hashem, there are many that fall away. The statistics are that there's a small percentage that remain loyal and connected to Hashem. And the Torah says about this, that those who remain, kodosh yomer loy, they are referred to as holy. That's the term kodesh here, holy. And the term heichal means a palace. Heichal is associated with kavod, an honorable, a place of honor and respect, because Rabbeinu Zal shows over there that this is one of the highest forms of respect for Hashem, when a person takes people who are far from Hashem and brings them close. So that's why this function is referred to as Heichal HaKodesh, a holy palace. Shehu Bechinas Kovoid, which this is a form of great honor and respect to Hashem. We've mentioned many times, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hovu L'Hashem Mishpuchay Samim, Hovu L'Hashem Kovoid Voiz. Bring to Hashem the families of the nations of the world, bring to Hashem honor and strength. So this is one of the highest forms of honor to Hashem, when people who are originally distant from Hashem, they come close. That's this kovoid, bechinas kisei kovoid. And this is associated with the throne of Hashem, which is also referred to as kovoid. Kimavoyer shom, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran very clearly. So this is a wonderful thing. This is a great thing to do. Avol hu tzorich lishmor es atzmoi. However, a person who's involved in this kind of work has to watch himself. Sheloi yisaches boi hora shel elu hanefoshois shehu oisik lekarvam. He has to be extremely careful that the evil, the negativity that's attached to the souls of the ones he's trying to bring close. We're talking about people who are far from Hashem. Far from Hashem means they are not yet completely good. There's good in them and there's bad in them. And this person who's working with them, who's coming close to them, building a relationship with them, in order to try to bring them close to Hashem, he has to be extremely careful that the ra of these people shouldn't attach itself to him and try to bring him down. Ki elu hanefoshois heim bebechinas zois Yerushalayim samtio betoich hagoyim. Because these souls that he's trying to bring close, Rabbeinu Zal refers to them as Yerushalayim. Because the word Yerushalayim is comprised of two words, Yerushalayim. He's trying to bring these people to a level of being complete in their respect for Hashem. The word Yira means fear or respect. Sholem means whole, solid. So he's trying to take these souls and elevate them to a level of Yerushalayim, Yira Sholem. And the Torah tells us that Yerushalayim is surrounded by other nations. It's surrounded by evil. Zois Yerushalayim, Samtia Besoy Chagoyim. Hashem says, I've placed it in the middle of other nations. It's surrounded by all kinds of stuff. Yerushalayim hi heichal hakodesh. Rabbeinu Zal says over there that Yerushalayim is another word for this holy palace that we're trying to build. Shehi, because again, we're trying to build a group of people who will be solid in their respect for Hashem. They will be zeicha to Yerushalayim. Shehi Shoichenes Bein Hagoyim Vahaklipois. And the Torah tells us that this Yerushalayim resides between the Goyim, between the Klipois. It's surrounded by all kinds of stuff, by Klipois and other nations. who would want to block those souls from coming close to Hashem, from forming such a unit, a special unit of people who are close to Hashem, who are solid in their respect for Hashem. So how does one deal with this? How do you deal with this issue, this opposition, these klipos that are surrounding this Heichal HaKodesh and battling it in a sense? And how does the person who's organizing this protect himself from the evil of these people and the klipos surrounding this Heichal HaKodesh attaching themselves to him? Rabbein Azal says over there, the person who's organizing this has to be very solid in mishpat. Mishpat means judgment and justice, meaning shetzorich zehoish hamekarev nefoshos uboina meyem heichal hakodesh. This person, this tzaddik, this rabbi, this leader, who is building, who is bringing these souls close, and he's building this heichal hakodesh, bechinas Yerushalayim ir hakodesh. He's trying to build this holy city. This person has to be very careful to constantly be examining himself, checking himself all the time, auditing himself, and to analyze his actions, and to think very carefully about what he's doing and how he's going about it, and to judge himself constantly to see, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I going about this the right way? Is it really proper to do what I'm doing? Because we know Rabbein Azal tells us in chapter 1 in Likutei Moran that the Yetzer Hara sometimes dresses himself up in mitzvahs. When he sees a person wants to be religious, or especially when he sees a person wants to do something major for Hashem, the Yetzer Hara knows he's got a problem. He's got to deal with this guy. He's got to try to block him and stop him any way he can. Now, to go over to such an individual and offer him sins, he ain't in the market for sins. He ain't looking to do sins. So you can't really offer him sins. So the Yetzer Hara says, okay, we'll switch channels. We'll offer him mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs? My mitzvahs. The Yetzer Hara's mitzvahs. Because this person wants to be religious and he wants to make other people religious. He's a real problem. He's a real troublemaker. We got to stop him. We got to mess him up some way. One of the ways, if we can't mess him up by blocking him, maybe we can go behind him and shove him, give him a push to get him to go faster than he can handle. Again, a car, you want a car, a bicycle to get you somewhere. We know that there are safety instructions, not to go too quick, not to go too slow. There are highways where there are signs up there. You're not allowed to go, you must go at least above a certain speed limit on this highway. You can't do 20, 30 miles an hour on this speedway. At the same time, you can't go above 65 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour. You got to stay somewhere in between this for safety reasons. Regarding coming close to Hashem also, there's a concept of going too slowly or going too quickly. Either way, a person can get into big trouble. And the Satan, especially in the individual who's trying to do this, who besides trying to be religious, besides trying to improve himself, he's trying to improve others, the Yetzer Hara is going to try very hard, the Yetzer Hara, the klipos, the forces of Tuma, to mess him up. And therefore, Rabbein Azal says, every Jew is supposed to be auditing himself on a regular basis. But this person has to be exceptional in this mishpat, in constantly checking himself with Hashem and checking himself with the Shulchan Aruch, with Torah, to see, am I doing the right thing? Because there are many people who try to go about outreach doing this kind of thing, and they themselves end up getting hurt in the process, lo aleinu. They end up getting divorced, chas v'shalom, or committing sins, getting into all kinds of trouble in the process. because Rabbein Azal warns over there that these souls whom you're trying to bring close, there's good and bad, and the bad doesn't just evaporate. It's looking to try to exist. It's looking to try to draw life from somewhere. And one of the places where it'll try to draw life from is the one who's organizing this Heichal HaKodesh. Validei HaMishpat Shehu Shoifet Es Atzmai, and by the person who's organizing this Heichal HaKodesh, judging himself, constantly examining himself, looking carefully, what am I doing, what am I not doing, is this really right? Maybe I'm being tempted by the Eitz Hara to do this. It looks like a mitzvah, but maybe it's really a sin in disguise. And I have to check myself and be very careful. By doing this mishpat properly, al yidei zeh nisoirer eish hamishpat, mishpat is compared to fire. Rabbein Azal quotes a pasuk where the pasuk says, ki bo eish Hashem nishpat. Hashem judges with fire. So when this person turns on this mishpat, he's turning on a blowtorch. V'soyreif es hora shel elu hanefosho shemekarvon milis aches boy. And this fire can help burn away the evil that's attached to those souls that he's trying to bring close. V'gam hu soyreif es hora min elu hanefosho. So number one, he burns away this evil, he blocks this evil from attaching itself to him, number one. So the first thing he does is he protects himself by turning on this fire. And number two, v'gam hu soyreif es hora min elu hanefosho shemekarvon. He also gets rid of the evil, the negativity that's attached to these souls, that evil should let go of those souls, should go away from them. These souls are now forming this holy palace for Hashem, this holy community. This throne of honor and respect for Hashem. Nimtzo, we see therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, She'ikar binyan v'kiyum b'chinas Heichal HaKodesh, that the way one goes about building and seeing to it that it should be permanent, this Heichal HaKodesh b'chinas kisyanal, this throne for Hashem, hualidei hamishpat, is by utilizing mishpat, by making sure to be strong in this area of mishpat. Through this mishpat, he gets rid of and he burns away this evil from Yerushalayim, from this Yerushalayim, from this Heichal HaKodesh that he's building. Hanal. So that the evil should not consume Yerushalayim, this holy palace. Kalidei hamishpat hu soyreif es hora mehanefoshos. Because by the one who's leading this group, by him being strong in this area of mishpat, this fire will burn away, will get rid of the evil that's attached to these souls. Shaidei zeh miskayim heichal HaKodesh. And this will help see to it that this Heichal HaKodesh that he's building will succeed, will be permanent. Bechinas Yerushalayim, bechinas Kisei Kanal. Validei Kisei Anal, bechinas Heichal HaKodesh, bechinas Yerushalayim, bechinas Igula Hanal, and through this holy palace, this throne, this Igul, the round, we mentioned that Igul means round, and the throne of Hashem is associated with this roundness. Shezeo bechinas kovoid kanal. This is an example of the honor and respect of Hashem. Kanal b'mayim ranal, as Rabbein Azal explains over there in Likutei Moran. Ayidei zeh miskayim hachoymo shel ashirus. This will ensure that the wall of wealth will be able to remain standing solid. Shehu shoyresh hanefoshos. And we know that wealth is the source from where these souls originate. We know that the Gemara and the Sifrei Kabbalah use the terminology that all the souls originate from under the throne of Hashem. And we know the throne of Hashem is called Kisei HaKovoid, the throne of glory, respect, honor. And Kovoid is synonymous with wealth. The Pasuk says, V'ho Oisher V'haKovoid Milfonecha. Wealth and honor are before you, in your presence, Hashem. So these souls, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in a few places in Likut Imran, that the Nefoshos are associated with Kovoid. They're associated with wealth. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, towards the end of chapter 59 in Likut Imran, Shechoimo Shel Ashirus, that this wall of wealth, this security as we call it, wealth is the security of a person, this wall and security of wealth, Shehu Bechinas Nefesh, which is associated with the Nefesh, Nimshach Al Yedei Ha This wealth, this wall, this honor is drawn by this individual who is bringing people close to Hashem. He's building this community. He's building this holy palace for Hashem. We know, for example, the Jews were in Egypt. They were in exile. They were surrounded by tumah, impurity. Egypt at that time was called Erev Asor. It's the most impure place on earth. It was the center of impurity, of adultery, znus, everything, and also the center, financial center of the world. When things got difficult in the world, when there was a famine, everyone came down to Egypt for economic sustenance, for support. And the Jews are there, surrounded by all of this tumah, all of this evil. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, the tzaddik comes along, and he wants to bring them close to Hashem. He performs some miracles there. He shows them that he's actually a messenger for Hashem, and he's come to take them out of there and to build them into a holy nation, to take them out of Egypt, out of the tumah, out of the ra, and to build them into Mamleches Koyanim Vegoy Kodosh, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. He goes through all the steps, and again, in the process of taking care of all the evil of Egypt, they extract all the wealth from Egypt. They take out all the wealth from Egypt when they leave Egypt, and then again a second round at Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Jews leave all of these 600,000 souls, Nefoshos, leave with all of this great wealth. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to build this Heichal HaKodesh and is being battled every step of the way. He's got tests. He's got obstacles. The Yetzer Hara doesn't take this line down. There's the Erev Rav. There's Korach, Dos Navir, every kind of force trying to battle him, to block him, to mess this up. But Moshe Rabbeinu is building the glory, the Kisei HaKovoid, this glory, this honor of Hashem. And he keeps passing test after test in trying, even when the Jews fall, to try to bring them back. And to try, and again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the perfection of this Mishpat, who was always, the ability, he never took any glory for himself, always, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. We see how he's maneuvering, how he's navigating through all of this. Nimtza, so Rav Nosson says, we see she'ikar ho'ashirus ha'idei mishpatanal, that this wealth that's associated with these souls that are being brought close to Hashem and that are being cleansed from the ra that's attached to them, that this wealth is dependent on mishpat, because we said this whole heichal hakodesh, this whole process is dependent on mishpat, justice. Constantly judging, constantly auditing. We know lahavdil in business, any business that a person operates, if they ain't auditing it, sometimes it looks like he's making money. He's running, he's buying and selling, and then he goes to see the accountant after 6 months or after a year, and the accountant says, "You're doing great. You're only in debt for $35,000 or $350,000." You know, what do you mean? I've sold all of this. Yeah, but you didn't realize your cost of doing business. True, you're buying the merchandise for $3 a piece, you're selling it for $6 a piece. But you don't know that in order for you to break even, no profit at all, you got to be selling it for at least $7.50 because you're over. What about the rent for the place? What about your travel expense? What about the fact that you borrowed $300,000 to get into business and you're going to have to start paying that back? The person says, well, I can't believe it. So again, there's no such thing in business, in begashmias or baruchnias, in success, without mishpat, without auditing justice. And this is what all the Sfarim write about, that a Jew every day has to audit himself. If he's just running, sometimes he could think he's doing great, and if he would really sit down at the end of the day and check it over carefully, he would see it's not the case. There's a famous example with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, that one of the wealthy people in his city once came to the rabbi, Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, with a big smile on. He wants to show the rabbi, it's year end, and he wants to show the rabbi his list of charities that he distributed in the previous year. And he showed him a list of, 40, 50 different things. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak took out a pen, he went down the list, and he said, no, no, yeah, no, no, no. Going down the list, showing that this is nothing, this was not valid charity, this is not valid, this one is okay, with this one you were successful. And sometimes, unless a person spends time auditing, examining himself, doing this mishpat, they can miss the boat completely. The Yetzirah is great at keeping us spinning our wheels. We're running, we're on the treadmill running, but we're not checking our progress. Am I losing weight? Am I not? I'm doing it. You're doing it, but you're not stopping to analyze, to audit, to carefully check it and examine yourself and re-examine yourself and talk it over with a friend, somebody who has experience sometimes, who can see things that you can't. The Torah tells us one of the most difficult things in the world is to audit yourself. It's easy to see what's wrong with somebody, very hard to see what's wrong with you. And it takes a really honest, sincere friend to tell you when you're doing something wrong. We mentioned many times that in Pirkei Avos, one of the incredible Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos is where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the greatest tzaddikim, sends his five best students. He says, go out into the world and analyze what's most important in life and come back and tell me. So sure enough, they go out and each one comes back with something different. One of them comes back and says, the most important thing in life is a good friend. Now, how do you define a good friend? Imagine if we could dial Hashem and say, Hashem, can you tell me what's the definition of a good friend? Because there are so many stories. A few hours ago, I was on the phone with one of my closest friends in the United States, and he was telling me about one of his kids who's having tremendous difficulty, and the difficulty is because of an incident that happened in their life 3 years ago. That they were dating somebody, they had a close relationship, a boy and a girl, and the boy ended up marrying her best friend instead. And the girl got shattered, and they're dating, she's sure that this is her husband, they're gonna get married, everything, and he ends up marrying her best friend. And a person gets broken by this, chas v'shalom. And a person says, where did this come from? We had such a solid, we were so close, we were such good friends, I thought our relationship was perfect. How could this be that from left field, boom, and I'm left nowhere. And it's 3 years and the person hasn't recovered yet. They have no self-esteem, this broke their self-esteem. So here's an example where sometimes a person thinks they know who's a good friend or who's a best friend, and then suddenly they get the rug pulled, they get the shock of their life. So if you look in the Mishnayis, the most famous, most basic commentary on Mishnayis is the Bar Tanura, Rabbeinu Avadya mi Bar Tanura. On the definition of a good friend, you'd figure he'd have like 6 pages of requirements of what's a good friend. He's got one line there. One line. A good friend is one who will reprimand you when they see you doing something wrong. That's the definition of a good friend. Prince said, what are you talking about? That's the last thing in the world I need in my life. Somebody's going to tell, I need somebody to tell me that I'm great, that I'm wonderful. Or I need somebody who will give me a car, give me a Jaguar, or, you know. What does good friend have to, that's the real definition of a good friend. Good friend is somebody who cares enough about you and who's honest with you enough and who understands you, who has the ability to look at you correctly and know and be able to know what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and be able to assist you in recognizing when you're making a mistake and help you correct it. That's the ultimate good friend. That's this, again, that's this mishpat, this issue of audit, judgment, justice, always not being overconfident, that of course I'm right, of course I know what I'm doing. You're in an olam hasheker. All the books in the Torah tell us that you look at the signs on the street, all the different street names, you got a picture that there's another word there, sheker, false. Well, this whole world is one big puddle, one big sewer of falseness with tiny drops of truth floating around within all of this sheker. And it's so easy to make a mistake. And it's especially when it comes to assessing yourself. Back inside. Nimtza, last three lines in the column, the left hand column. Nimtza. She'ikar hu ashirus va'idei mishpot anal. She'idei zeh nivna meskaim hechel ha'kodesh. We build this hechel ha'kodesh with mishpot. She'misham ikar hu ashirus kanal. And the wealth is associated with this hechel ha'kodesh, with these souls. Ki beloi mishpot chas v'shalom. Because without this judgment, without this auditing, mesacheis chas v'shalom hora. The ra, the evil, attaches itself. The nechrav chas v'shalom hechal hakodesh, and it can bring down that holy palace, shubchinas ashirus, which is this wealth. And v'zeh b'chinas Rav Nosal says, now watch how you'll see this in a pasuk. This pasuk Rabbeinu Zal doesn't bring. This pasuk Rav Nosal Zal introduces. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk says in Yirmiyah chapter 17. Oise oisher v'loy b'mishpot, a person who is generating wealth without judgment, without auditing, b'chatzi yom av yazvenu. In half of his life, it'll leave him. He'll lose that wealth before he's covered half of his life. Ki ikar kiyum hu ashirus, hualidei mishpot daika. Because the main thing that secures wealth, that ensures that the wealth will exist, will be preserved, is this mishpat, shal yodoi miskayim hechal hakodesh, because the mishpat is what ensures that the hechal hakodesh will succeed, will continue, shemishom hu ashirus kanal, and that's where this wealth comes from. The wealth is tied into this hechal hakodesh. V'ze shenismach achar posuk oise, and this is why over there in Yirmiyah chapter 17, right after that pasuk we just quoted, the next pasuk says, "Kisei kovoid moroi meirishoim," that the throne of Hashem is exalted. Ki ikar hu ashirus digdusha hu mebchinas kisei kovoid kanal. Because again, the main source of wealth is from that throne of Hashem, shekiyumoi alidei mishpot, whose existence is dependent on mishpot, judgment. It's brought that the word hakisei, kisei means throne. Hakisei is the throne. The throne of Hashem is bigimatria 86, which is Elokim, Hashem's name Elokim, which means judge or judgment. In the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, Mishpat, the chapter in the Torah that deals with Mishpat, it says, ad ho Elokim yovo dvarash, when two people have a disagreement, bring it to the judge. Take it to the judge. The word judge is Elokim. So the term Elokim, the term Hakisei is Mishpat, and the Kisei is this Yerushalayim. Here again, interesting. The word Yerushalayim, Rav Rosenfeld's Rav once showed us, the word Yerushalayim is spelled in the Torah sometimes with a Yud, sometimes without a Yud. Yerushalayim. in Navi, in a few places. If you take a look at the word Yerushalayim, it has a shin in it, it has a resh in it, and it has the remaining letters. Hashem's name Elokim, this name of Hashem, the name of judgment and justice, when written in its standard form, it's 86. That's the letters Yud Vav Lamed Mem. The Yud Vav Lamed Mem of Yerushalayim is 86. The Reish, if you take Hashem's name Elokim Ba'achorayim, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, it equals 200. That's the Reish. And Hashem's name Elokim B'milui, when you fill out each letter as a word, the way you pronounce it, Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalet, it's Bigematria Shin, 300. So that the word Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim here is the nickname for this Yerushalayim, this Heichal HaKodesh that we're building, the word Yerushalayim is made up of Hashem's name Elokim in its three forms. The standard, regular, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, 86, that's Yud Vav Lamed Mem. Then the Achorayim, which is the Reish, and the Milui, which is the Shin. Showing that this is what this is all about. That this Yerushalayim, the Shechina, this throne of Hashem, this holy castle, is dependent on Mishpat. And that's why Rabbeinu Zal taught us that Hispoidus is so important. Having this time alone with Hashem every day, because one of the critical pieces of Hispoidus is this Mishpat. This auditing oneself, sitting down and thinking, what am I doing? Where am I going? What are my goals? Am I achieving those goals? Why not? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What could be improved? This mishpat is a critical, critical piece of building oneself and especially building this Heichal HaKodesh, which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai tried to build, which all the tzaddikim, Rabbi Akiva and his students, the 24,000 students, they had everything. But obviously something wasn't right in the Mishpat. Something was lacking in the Mishpat because they weren't showing the proper respect to each other. Even though they were doing so many other good things, this area needed improvement. It wasn't improved. They all were burned. They all got destroyed, eaten up, Rachmona Litzlan. Okay, so this is the introduction where Rav Nosson Zal reviews the chapter in Likutei Moran and he gives us the basics of what's going on. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to take this into the next step, into the topic of business, doing business, and to see how this works, how this mishpat comes into transacting money transactions. Paragraph Beis. Kizeh sheroitze la'asos masu matan ularviach mamavashirus, because a person who wants to conduct business and he wants to make money, he wants the purpose of doing business is to make money, wealth, to acquire wealth. Hu tzorich lizoher moed lachshuv derochov. The person has to be extremely careful to think carefully about every step he's taking in business. To be judging himself all the time, and analyze his actions all the time. Because it's through this mishpat, through this analysis, this audit, this will enable the person to conduct business with holiness, with Hashem's blessing, so that he'll succeed. Now a person would say, I don't understand. Before we were talking about bringing souls close to Hashem. Now we're talking about doing business. What does one have to do with the other? Because a person who's going out to do business, who bechinas mekarev nefoshos l'Hashem yisborach, he is also bringing souls close to Hashem. Which souls? Ki yesh bahamasu matan nitzutzois kedoishois gavoyas moid. Because in business transactions, in buying and selling real estate, cars, food, anything, in anything that's being bought and sold and transferred, there are very, very holy sparks that are found in everything, in food, in real estate, in jewelry, in all of these things. They have in them holy sparks, shetzrichim levararom al yidei hamasumatan, which need to be refined. They need to be cleaned up. They need to be fixed, repaired through the business that's being transacted by being in this person's ownership for a certain period of time and then being transferred to somebody else's ownership. We mentioned many times that this is like an assembly line, like you're building a car. The factories that build cars, they have this long assembly line, and each person adds or subtracts, does his piece on the process as this thing is moving along and being taken from zero, from nothing, to coming out to being a fully produced car that's been tested, that all the different things along the way. So too, every single object in this world, every plant, every animal, every piece of real estate, jewelry, metals, all of these things, have in them holy sparks, and these sparks have to be refined and processed. And as people conduct business and transact all kinds, this refinement is taking place. Kimavura b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal kam upon him, as is explained throughout Rabbeinu Zal's teachings many times. Ve'elu hanitzoitzois, shemevaranois na'idei masumatan, and these sparks, which are being refined and processed through the business that's being transacted, umachzirenoison el hakedusha, and many times, we're taking things that were not even part of the Jewish nation. We're buying from non-Jews. We're buying grain. We're buying all kinds of things or metals. Or, you know, they're being returned, introduced back into holiness. Hein bechinas geirim ubalei tshuva nal. They are similar to the concept of converts or balei tshuva, people who are originally distant from Hashem and being brought close to Hashem. So to these holy sparks that originally were not part of any mitzvah. Sometimes you have a building that was used as a sport. You have stories that buildings that were used as sports complexes and everything get converted to shuls sometimes. They take this building and enough Jews move into it and they take it over and turn it into a synagogue. This building that was built with bricks and cement and metal, all of these things, which had in it all kinds of holy sparks that were dormant, that were lying in there waiting to have a mitzvah produced. Well, here again, a house that's owned by X, and then Y comes in and purchases the house, and Y is a person who puts up mezuzahs, and he's learning Torah in that house and eating kosher, and suddenly all the different ingredients, every single part of what was used to build that house is being elevated. All the sparks in that item are being elevated now. Kimalin u'machnisin hanefoshois v'nitzoitzes shlamas u'matin min hachutz lifnim min akdusha, because we're elevating and bringing in those souls and those holy sparks that were in those things that are being transacted. We're taking them from outside to bring them inside the realm of holiness. Nimtza, so we see therefore that a person who's doing business with real faith in Hashem in a trustworthy manner, with holiness, he is bringing converts. He is converting things that were outside, that were secular, that were outside the realm of holiness, and he's converting them to holiness. He's buying homes or building homes for Jews. He's taking bricks and faith that he's purchasing that had nothing to do with religion. He's building homes for Jewish people, that Jewish people are going to move into there and keep Shabbos in those homes and do mitzvahs, all kinds of good deeds. Gam, in addition, al yidei hamas umatan, an additional thing that's going on while you're doing business, humarviach momo in vashirus, he's making money. He's making price, profiting and building wealth, Shehu Magdeles Hanefesh, which elevates, which increases the soul. It elevates the soul. Shaideze Hanefoshois Te'evim Lichloil Bishmoyu Benafshoi Kimavur B'maranal. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran that the more rich a person becomes, the wealthier a person becomes, the more people are attracted to that person. They're like magnets. Wealthy people, there's a pasuk, Oyavei Oshir Rabin. That there are many people like a rich person. They cling to them, they look for that and everything. So as this person is building wealth, if it's wealth of holiness, he becomes a magnet for souls to be attracted to him. Nimtza, Shayidei Amasu Matan. So therefore, through this business, Shayidei Zeh Marviach Mamon, through which he's profiting, he's earning money, increasing his wealth, if he's doing it properly, not just to make a name for himself, but to make a name for Hashem. If every drop of wealth that he has, he gives all the credit to Hashem. Hashem gave me this. And right away, as soon as he gets some money, now who can I help with this? Who needs this money more than I do? And there are such people. I was just talking to my wife this morning. There's a friend that I have who lives here in Jerusalem who is the epitome of this. This is a person who has a house, he has a car, he has everything he needs. And he says that many times, that Baruch Hashem, I have everything I need. If I would want, I could retire right now. I don't have to work. The main reason I'm working is to give charity, to give tzedakah, to see who I can help. And I'm a witness to see this. I get phone calls from this person 2-3 times a day. What's happening with this person? Check out, I think he needs help. Find out if he does. Don't let him know it's coming from me. But if what he needs, give it to him. And I'll give it back to you. There are such people where, again, their focus is elevating these sparks, bringing people close to Hashem, increasing the Kedusha. And therefore, because this is what can be accomplished, and this is what is being accomplished when it's being done properly, therefore the person that's doing this business has to be very careful. These souls and these holy sparks that are found in the metal, in the wood, in the heart, those souls are not pure. They have good and bad. They've been engaged, they've been in this world of falseness, in this world of tumah. And those things could have been used, that house could have been used as a place of sin before, committing all kinds of sins. And now you want to buy that house and bring it into the Kedusha, the Ra that's in there is looking for an address. It's looking what to attach itself to. And it can easily want to attach itself to the one who's purchasing that house. Ki ze yodua, because this is a known fact. Shehakedushois vahanefoshois hamelubashim b'masumatan, that those souls and those sparks of holiness that are found in business that's being transacted, whether it's real estate, whether it's the field of medicine, whether it's jewelry, whatever it is, heim bebechinas golus hashchina. Those souls are compared to the Shechina being in exile. V'shoichinin bein hagoyim v'sitrachra. Those souls are found, they're surrounded by non-Jew, by secular things, by the sitrachra, by the other side. Bebechinas zois Yerushalayim, b'soich hagoyim samtia. As the pasuk says, this is Yerushalayim, this is the Shechina, this is the Heichal HaKodesh. It's sitting, it's surrounded by goyim. It's surrounded by other nations. You look at the Beis HaMikdash today, the site of the Beis HaMikdash. There's an Armenian quarter. There's, in the old city, there's an Armenian quarter and a Muslim quarter and a this, and it's surrounded on all sides by all kinds of other stuff. Kimavura b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal kama pamim, as is explained throughout Rabbeinu Zal's teachings in many places. Therefore, this person who's doing the business has to be extremely careful that the evil, the negativity that's attached to these souls shouldn't attach itself to him. Shehu mevarer amayde amasumatan, which he is attempting to repair, to fix, to elevate through this business that he's conducting, he's got to be careful that they shouldn't attack him. Umize bo ma shehayotzim lashuk voiskim bemasumatan nichsholin lefamim. And this is why you find, unfortunately, many times, that people who go out into the world of business, people who start off studying Torah and yeshiva, they start off the first part of their life as a religious, and then they go out, they leave the Beis Medrash, they go out into the business world, they go out to start working, sometimes they stumble. They are nichshal, v'nisrachkin me'avodas Hashem yisborach, and they lose their connection to Hashem. They pray less, they study Torah less, and they become less honest, and all kinds, they drop tremendously in their level of observance, in their level of closeness to Hashem. Ki ze machmas hora hanal, shenisache is banitzoitze shel masumatan kanal. Rav Nosson says one of the reasons for this is all of that evil that's attached to those holy sparks that they're engaging in the business that they're doing, in the money and all of these things. So a person would say, get me out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Avol be'emes, but in truth, masu umatan hu dovor godol moed. Doing business and working and earning a living is something very special. It's very big. Rak she'tzrichen lishmor atzma kanal. However, got to be careful. Got to be extremely careful. It's great, but cautious. V'al kein hu tzorich lamishpat. And that's why this person requires judgment, auditing. To be judging himself all the time, analyzing, auditing himself. To speak to Hashem every day. Hashem, I'm going out to work. I need your help. I'm going into the battlefield. Work is a battlefield. I'm going to be engaging good and bad. There's holy sparks there. And the Sitrachra is there with his knife out. He's ready to chop my head off. He's ready for me to be one of his statistics. One of the people who, as a result of going out into work business, ends up, chas v'shalom, falling and failing spiritually and sometimes financially in all kinds of ways. V'yefashvesh b'masa, and analyze his actions. V'yodin v'yishpoit esatzmoy bi'atzmoy, al kol hadvorim shuoise, and to be able to audit himself, to be able to examine himself honestly, really be honest with himself. Are my intentions really pure? Why am I doing this? I just spoke to somebody again last night who was telling me that the lottery, the New York State, I think, I'm not sure, it's the New York State lottery right now, is at $550 million. $500 million. And again, how many eyes, and they got the billboards all over wherever you drive. They're flashing, reminding you, go for it. Buy another 100 lottery tickets. Go. And this person was telling me, this person is now, I think, about 35 years old, 40 years old maybe. He's saying since he's 18 years old, he's been praying to Hashem constantly to win the lottery. And he doesn't know if there's anybody else out there who's been praying as much as him. Like, he feels there's a reasonable likelihood that he's prayed more than anybody else for this, and therefore Hashem should give it to him. So I asked him, I said to him, can I ask you a question? Would you be willing to make a deal with Hashem that if you win the lottery, 90-10, that Hashem keeps 90 and you take 10? Would $55 million, 10% of 550, would you be okay with that? He did not say yes. He did not say yes. Because again, this person is in a community, in a society, where $55 million is not the top. It's not near the top. So he was thinking, he was struggling a little. Can we negotiate? Can we do like a 60-40? And we were talking further, And I said to him, what would you do with it? So he said, I don't think I would work anymore. I think I would devote my time. I'd build yeshivas, build shuls. I'd get a nicer car too. I'd get a, build a nice house too. I heard those words and I said, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't say to him. I said to myself, I don't know what Hashem, I don't know if Hashem is going to give it to him. Because in the Gemara, you have several examples, maybe 10 different examples of rabbis who prayed for something. And almost every time that they prayed for something and they got it, they looked Hashem in the face and they said, Hashem, you know the truth. You know that I don't want this for myself, but there's nothing in this for me. Zero. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing it for my family, for my parents. It's only for you. I'm asking for this only for you. When they said that, and it was real, Hashem lost. Hashem was stuck. There's no way out of that. You can't say no. Hashem can't say no, because the world was created for that purpose. The world was created for Hashem's honor, for Hashem's honor and Hashem's glory. And if a person can honestly say, Hashem, you know that I have no interest at all in any personal honor whatsoever, personal glory. I don't need no money. I don't need any of your money. If I'm asking you for money, I'm asking you to give me money to use for you. I'll use it only for your honor. That's a pretty serious, that's a serious argument. And we see in the Gemara examples, one after another, where the person said it and Hashem turned on the faucet. Hashem did it. Obviously, these were great tzaddik, and that's a very high level. That's something a person strives their whole life, to rid themselves, to rid myself of I and my and what I need. For a person to be on a level to say, you ask a person, what do you need? I don't. I don't need anything. I have everything I need. I have a shirt, I have pants. What do I need? I had breakfast this morning. I need another breakfast. I don't want another breakfast. One breakfast is perfect for me. I don't need no two breakfasts. I have what I need. If Hashem will give me wealth, I have only one thing to do with it, to figure out how I can make Hashem happy, what we can do to make Hashem jump, to make Hashem jump, to make Hashem say, wow, wow. And the Torah gives examples of what makes Hashem say, wow. When you see somebody who's poor, who doesn't have what to eat, you know, and you go over to that person, or you don't go to that person, you have somebody else go to that person and hand them a $100 bill, and he says, thank you. He says, don't thank me, it's not mine. Then whose is it? He don't want you to know. Have a nice day. See you later. There's ways the Torah defines how to give charity and how to build shuls and how to do things where there is no personal glorification. It's pure, pure respect for Hashem, purely Hashem's honor. Halavai, we should be zecha to try to get to that those kind of places. But that's where Rav Nosson Zal is speaking about here, this judgment, this hispoidus, to examine yourself, am I really doing the right thing? Im kach roi loy lasos, is this really what I should be doing? Ulevalos yemei chaya b'maisim kelu, should I be spending my life doing what I'm doing right now, doing this? Vayidei ha-mishpot mo'er hislavu salev, and through this mishpot, he turns on that fire in his heart, as shubchinas eish, which is a fire, as Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran, vayidei ho'eish hazeh hu soyref es horah, and that fire destroys any of the evil, any of the negativity, shelo yisaches boy, that it shouldn't be able to attach itself to him. Vegam shelo yisaches be'elu hanitzutzais v'nefoshoi shu oisik levar ma'ides matan, and the evil shouldn't be able to cling to those souls, to those holy sparks that he's trying to bring close. Vazai zoiche lehagdil kvoid Hashem yisporach hayidei zeh. And then, if he does this properly, then he's zoiche to really elevate Hashem's honor. Uboine b'chinas heichal ha-kodesh ayidei masumatan. And then, his business is building this holy palace for Hashem. Vazai zoiche la-shirus godol. And then, he gets big wealth. then he's ready for the $550 million. Ki hu ashirus nimshach al yedei hakovod hanal. Because wealth, real wealth, comes through this honor, through honor of Hashem, the respect for Hashem. How did Moshe Rabbeinu make $1 billion? Not a half a billion. He got the whole billion. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was pure Hashem's honor, nothing personal. He said, I'm a mess. Who are you? I'm Hashem's. I don't have no name. I'm Hashem's messenger. I'm a messenger of Hashem to take the Jews out of Egypt. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to acquire all of the wealth, the whole Egypt, to clean out the financial center of the world, get all of it, because he was pure Kvod Hashem. Aidei b'chinas Heichal HaKodesh now, through the Heichal HaKodesh. Aval kishe'ein mishpat, but when a person isn't judging themselves constantly and auditing themselves, oz chas v'sholom nechaz hora, then the evil has power and it attaches itself. And then this person cannot succeed in refining those holy sparks, and to build that holy palace. And then that person will not get the wealth. Because the person will forfeit the wealth, they will give up the wealth, by losing their temper, by getting angry, which the Yetzirah will toss in their direction. The Yetzirah will set him up for a situation to get upset, to get angry, lose his temper. Ki hakas hu Yetzirah shebelev. Because anger is the main evil in the heart. Kamei shekosav, as the Pasuk says in Koheles chapter 11, v'hoser kas milibecha, remove the anger from your heart, v'have ro mibsorecha, and remove evil from your flesh. So we see that another word for ra is kas. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likut Imran that whenever the Yetzirah, the Satan, sees that a good person or a potentially good person has an opportunity to acquire major wealth, the Yetzirah slips him, throws him a curveball, gives him an opportunity to lose his temper, to get angry. And if he takes the bait, if he gets angry, he exchanges. Wealth is called chayma. Wealth is this wall, this fortification that surrounds a person. Anger is chayma. It's almost the same, all the same letters, except a vav and a yud. There's a tiny drop of ink that makes the difference. The difference between Hashem Echad and Kel Acher. Echad Acher, one, the one Hashem, Acher means the other side. A drop of ink that makes it, that tiny drop. Al kein tzrichin mishpat. This is why a Jew needs this mishpat. Kedei lisroif es hora, to eliminate, to burn away the evil. Vazayin is batel akas, and a person who does this mishpat fully and properly will eliminate the kas. They'll get that kas out of their system completely. Because all that fire inside of them, they'll release that fire when they speak to Hashem. There'll be no more fire left to get angry at anybody. Vazai zoichel ashirus. And then that person can be worthy of receiving that great wealth, hanimshach al yidei heichal hakodesh, which comes from this holy palace, which is built from these souls and holy sparks that are being refined, that are being improved through the business that's being transacted.